Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, September 12th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Hyla Grace Allman. Hyla is a student at Beeson Divinity School, and she is also here an intern with Amy Hirsch in pastoral ministry at Mountain Brook Baptist. I can't wait for you to hear more about her life and ministry at the end of the podcast. But first, Hyla will read God's Word for us. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Today's first passage reading will be from Isaiah 20, and I'll be reading from ESV. In the year that the commander-in-chief, who was sent by Sargon, the king of Assyria, came to Ashdod and fought against it and captured it. At that time, the Lord spoke by Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, "Go and loose the sackcloth from your waist and take off your sandals from your feet." And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Then the Lord said, "As my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot for 3 years, as a sign and a portent against Egypt and Cush, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian captives and the Cushite exiles, both the young and the old, naked and barefoot, with buttocks uncovered, the nakedness of Egypt. Then they shall be dismayed and ashamed because of Cush, their hope, and of Egypt their boast. And the inhabitants of this coastland will say in that day, 'Behold, this is what has happened to those in whom we hoped, and to whom we fled for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria. And we, how shall we escape?'" Our second reading is Acts chapter 7, verses 44 through 53. Our fathers, in turn, brought it in with Joshua when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God, and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophets say, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by the angels and did not keep it." The final reading is from Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2. "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken."
Thank you so much, Hyla Grace, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We're excited about your internship here and want to learn a little more about you. Where did you grow up? And tell me a little bit about your educational background.
Yeah, so I grew up not far from here. I was in Morris, Alabama, was where I was born and raised. So I went to Mortimer Jordan, for those of y'all that are familiar with high schools in the area. And I lived in Morris until I moved away for college. And I went to the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and I became a teacher. I was an elementary school teacher for about 4 years. And so when I got my degree from Tuscaloosa, I got home. I went back to Morris, and that is where I started teaching, was at Bryan Elementary.
Okay. And I want to know a little bit more about your personality, maybe your hobbies and interests.
Yeah. So I love to be outside. Nature is really special for me. I love to walk with friends, enjoy going to have coffee with people, getting to know people. I also love traveling. One fun fact you probably might want to know is I went to Cambridge this summer with Beeson on a trip studying the English Reformation. So that was really, really fun. That's one thing I love to do is travel.
What was one highlight from that amazing trip?
Oh, wow. So we got to stay on campus at Jesus College in Cambridge. And so I kind of felt like a student there, which was like a dream come true. And just almost like a local, being able to walk around, things like that. It was really fun getting to hang out with my fellow students.
Well, how did you end up at Beeson Divinity School after being a teacher?
So yeah, I taught as a teacher for 4 years, but deep down, I knew I always wanted to go to seminary, but I never really considered that as an option for myself. But I had a friend that was at Beeson at the time, this time 2 years ago, And I found out that they were starting a Christian counseling program. And so I went online and looked onto their case programming of like what the classes were going to look like. And every single one of the classes was interesting to me. And so I applied that spring and was considering, you know, if I got accepted to just do part-time. And I met for my interview and realized that I wanted to go all in. And so I resigned from my job and signed up for classes, and here I am.
Speaking of BSIN classes, are there some that stand out to you that you have enjoyed?
Well, what I love about BSIN, and one thing I really appreciate about our program, is we are taking classes that a lot of the MDiv students and the theological studies students are taking. So I get the church history and the doctrine and Old and New Testament. But at the same time, I'm taking counseling classes that are, in a way, it's like, how do we take these truths and put them in with our day-to-day lives? And so some of the classes I've really enjoyed have been human development, which I think, you know, falls in with my teaching degree. That was, you know, one class that I really enjoyed. But I've also enjoyed with Dr. Bowles, Gordon Bowles. He's our counseling director. He has taught a couple classes, and one of those was the counseling relationship. And that was actually my first class at BSIN. And there was a lot of reflection going on and a lot of crying, and it was good for the soul.
What are a couple of key points that you learned in that class?
What I loved about that class and learned from that class was it was a lot of reflection and just going deeper into maybe our reasons for why we feel certain ways about things. And one of those aspects I loved was we would have to do reflection journals and talk about just our interactions with other people and our personalities and how they're wired and how we're embodied souls. And so we have to pay attention to our spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, all these elements of us. And that's, you know, that's how God made us and created us. And that was just a valuable piece of information that I think has walked with me as I've continued my studies.
So we are physical. Is what you're saying that our physical will impact our emotional and our emotional will impact our spiritual?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of times we look at it as boxed up, like, oh, I only have these physical elements, these emotional aspects of myself. But really, they're not boxed up. They're not separated. They are all together, working together. And that's maybe sometimes why we react the way we do in certain situations, why I might be anxious right now talking in a podcast because I'm nervous about what I might say next, things like that, that might be, you know, in how we're embodied souls. And like if I'm presenting with maybe a racing heartbeat, there might be something, I might be struggling in a relationship right now, and I may not even consider that to be part of the reason why my heart is racing and maybe my palms are sweating.
But it's all interconnected.
It's all interconnected, yes.
Now I want to know how you ended up from being a teacher and then going to BSIN, and now you're an intern here at Mountain Brook Baptist.
Yes. So this is a fun story because BSIN Center for Women in Ministry held an event last spring that was titled Ministering to and Through Trauma, where Amy Hirsch was a panelist. And so I got to listen to her input throughout the event. And it was interesting because hers was from a church staff perspective, while the other panelists were, one was nonprofit, one was in chaplaincy, and then the other was a licensed counselor. So hearing her perspective and what she had to offer in that conversation was really special. And so our director, Dr. Bowles, had kind of told us to begin reaching out to churches and organizations in the area to consider for internship. And so I reached out in an email to Amy. We met for coffee, and the rest is history.
Wonderful. And what is your internship going to entail while you're with us?
Yeah, so actually, right off the bat, Amy got me connected with Joel, and so I was able to speak to the student ministry this past week, or I guess 2 weeks ago. And so from here on out, I'm planning to shadow Amy as we go and visit with church members, also helping with administrative work and all that goes into that. One thing I'm really looking forward to, though, is meeting with Sunday school classes in the coming weeks. And so I think this will be a good way for me to get to know more members, but also to facilitate a discussion on anxiety. And that's a curriculum I've been working on with And I'm prayerful that this will be a good experience for me and for the fellow members here.
Tell me some of the things you talked about with the youth a couple of weeks ago.
So really, I was planning on giving basically just like an informational session, and the Lord prompted me to be a little bit more vulnerable. And so I shared some of my story, and it was it felt yucky and awkward and uncomfortable, but I think that's, you know, sometimes where we're meant to sit in those moments. And so I shared the part of my testimony that was really that pertained to anxiety, and really from there gave them some practical tips, but also just the way the Lord met me in those moments where I felt very vulnerable and isolated.
It is so helpful when you know someone else is struggling in the way that you're struggling. So I'm grateful that our students have someone that they can reach out to if they're struggling with anxiety. I do want to know more about your faith story, how you came to faith, and what your journey with the Lord has been like.
Yeah, so I feel like this is the most Baptist thing ever, but I was a VBS kid.
Yes, like, yeah, me too.
Yay, we gotta stick together. And so that was, I was 6 years old, and I can tell you the exact place, what church. I just remember in that moment feeling this sense of, I cannot do this by myself. I was a very anxious child, didn't know that until really looking back, and a lot of the reflecting in Dr. Bao's class of how anxious I actually was as a kid. And so for me to, in a way, let my guard down and let someone in was really big, like looking back on that. And so, that's the Lord met me there. And I know in that moment that through Jesus, I was reconciled. And it's a sweet moment that I'm thankful that I get to look back on and know that that was the moment that he met with me for the first time. And so from there, I grew up in church. I mean, I have parents who love the Lord, who are faithful, who had me in church Sundays, Wednesdays. But I think it was really late middle school, early high school, where I started to really take it for myself and really dig into God's word and meet him there. And that's when he started doing a lot more in my life, a lot of things that I was scared of. So I knew I wanted to teach, went into teaching. Felt that was really, I know I'm scared of the word call, but I felt that was a call in my life. And I love working with children, and especially like seeing the growth and how they learn. And so that was something I did for those 4 years. But it was actually my first year teaching where my grandmother passed away, and I was experiencing a lot of grief, but that continued for a really long time. And then I found out that I was dealing with more than just grief. There was a lot of anxiety and depression that was coming out and that I was presenting through like just a lot of the symptoms that I had. And that was when I really feel that the Lord, I've never felt a closeness with the Lord like I felt in those moments where I felt very isolated, very alone. Even though I was surrounded by so many people, I still felt like nobody understood, and I didn't even understand. And that was when the Lord brought me the comfortable words of Scripture. I love how Thomas Cranmer in the Book of Common Prayer has in the communion service, the confession, right after confession is when he says, now hear these comfortable words. And, that's what Scripture was for me, comfort. It was a comfort that I needed.
Were there specific scriptures that come to mind that comforted you in this season?
I had my back pocket was full of them. I had to keep scripture with me at all times, because any moment I had like this overwhelming sense of anxiety or like sadness, I would whip it out. And sometimes that paper made it through the wash somehow, because I'm never good at checking my pockets. But it was Psalm 84 for me, and some of the words, verse 3 says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And just those words, that truth of how lovely the dwelling place of the Lord is, and that I didn't, even though I didn't feel at home in a lot of places. I could feel at home with him. And that was a scripture that was like a lifeline for me, and how he's near to us when we're brokenhearted, and he binds up our wounds, and how in Psalm 139, it says that he hems us in behind and before. So many of these verses that were a comfort to me were all about the security of the Lord and our relationship with him.
And what is something that the Lord is teaching you recently?
Well, I think the pin of the comfortable words of what Thomas Cranmer said, because when I went to Cambridge on the trip, we were studying the English Reformation, and that's where, you know, he was, and where he walked, and, you know, where he was later executed. And so just learning more about that, and Thomas Bilney, another scholar from Cambridge, upon reading 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a trustworthy statement, and everyone who shall accept it, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them." That's the NIV translation. And so upon reading this, he says that he had this experience of how the words of scripture were comfort to bruised bones, is what he said, and how his soul leapt for joy. And I just think that that's something the Lord's been showing me, like how much comfort there is in his word and in who he is.
Okay, I want to back up to Thomas Cranmer, because I've forgotten some of this church history. Remind us why and how Thomas Cranmer was executed.
Yes, so he was going against what the monarchy believed at the time, and he was proclaiming Christ, and they locked him away. I think there was a lot of psychological things that were going on. They were trying to mess with him, get him to recant, basically, like to deny the faith. And he did. He wrote, they gave him a written document, and he signed that he had basically his recantation. And then they asked him to stand before the people in a church and to publicly recant. And when the time came for him to do that, he recanted his recantation. He said, "No, I believe in Christ." And he proclaimed Christ one last time. And I think it's even said that they had to chase him to his execution site. Like they were running after him, and he was going to be burned at the stake. And with his right hand, the hand that he signed his recantation, he had that burned first. He said, "This is the, you know," along the lines of like, "This was the thing that denied the Lord first, and this will be purified." And from there, you know, we have the Book of Common Prayer because of his work within the church. And I was able to go and walk where he was, and where he recanted his recantation, and where he was later executed. And so it was really powerful to be there in those moments and really almost relive that history and studying it.
That is powerful. And I'm thankful for your retelling of the story to remind me. We're so grateful that you have joined the staff at Mount Brook Baptist. We're hopeful for this season that the Lord would use you in our lives and help us to know the Lord more. And we thank you for living in a way to help us flourish. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes, I'd like to end with the words of Martin Luther. And so will you pray with me? God receives none but those who are forsaken, restores health to none but those who are sick, give sight to none but the blind, and life to none but the dead. He has mercy on none but the wretched, and gives grace to none but those who are in disgrace. We thank you that our moments in life, Lord, can open us up to more grace. And we know that where more grace and mercy is needed, that you always supply it, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.